your host, Jay Montgi.
Ah, it's Monday. What a beautiful afternoon here at AirVenture Oshkosh 2009. I'm Jay Montgi, and we are on the fly.
I'm sitting down in front of the vintage red barn in front of a beautiful Pitcairn Autogyro, a PA-18. And Jack Tiffany and company were kind enough to restore this aircraft and bring it for all of us to see here at AirVenture 2009. Jack, hello.
Hello.
And you're joined by your son, Nick. Hi, Nick.
How you doing? Very nice to meet you.
Good, good. Well, most of the listeners probably have no idea what a Pitcairn PA-18 Autogyro is, so let's start there and talk about the aircraft itself.
All right. First of all, the Autogyro was developed by Juan Sierra of Spain, and he wanted to build an airplane that would not stall or spin in the 20s. And he developed the basic Autogyro. He was picked up by the English because the Spanish weren't interested in it. And he did most of the development work in Spain. And that was the Sierra Autogyros. Pitcairn thought it was the coming thing. And he went to Spain to meet with Sierra and to find out what it would take to get the Autogyros to America. And it didn't go well the first time. The second time he went over there, they made nice. And he ended up buying the American rights for the Autogyros. And the first two Autogyros that Pitcairn produced were PCA-1 and PCA-2, which is Pitcairn Sierra. And then they developed into just a plain Pitcairn Autogyro. And an Autogyro is basically an airplane. It has wings and a tail, but on top it has a rotor. And this particular ship here has a 40-foot rotor that rotates independently, free wheels. And it produces 80% of the lift, which means 40% or 20% of the lift is from the wings.
So, in other words, there is no way this Autogyro could fly without the rotor.
No way possible.
Okay. I think most people in this generation, this time, would probably recognize the Pitcairn Autogyro from the movie The Rocketeer, huh?
That was a PCA-2. A three-place Rocketeer. This was in, it happened one night with Claudette Clairbore or whatever it is, and this is the ship that was in the movie.
Oh, okay. All right, well, tell us a little bit about, let's start at the beginning, how you acquired the project and what happened from there.
Well, Jack and I, we have the same taste in airplanes in I don't know. I kind of got ate up with aviation when I was about 12 years old, 12, 13. And I kind of find Jack's airplanes for him. A gentleman, Herb Ware, gave me 3,000 aviation magazines. And when I was all throughout high school, I would come home. Instead of doing homework, I'd be looking at these aviation magazines. And it seems like every week I was getting leads on an airplane. One week it's a 1929 Davis Parasol, an Overland Sport something. And I'd always be coming, Jack. There's a cool airplane we got to get, most of the time, these airplanes cost money. I can give them, lead after lead, but you know what? That's what it comes down to. Well, the Autogyro was just the airplane that Jack always wanted to build, and I happened upon an American Airman magazine from 1957, and I saw this little airplane. It said, help needed, little Autogyro basically rotting away over in Pennsylvania. And I thought to myself, that airplane's still got to be around. Well, 96, the internet was really taking off. And that's the first thing I ever remember doing was going up. And landings.com was one of the sites that basically you could research N numbers. And that's what I'd plug it into. And I started plugging in numbers time after time. And right around that time, the guy who owned this for 42 years and kept it away, he re-registered the aircraft, just happened by chance, and it was like maybe a month after it showed up. And I found it, and I got a lead on it, and the guy ended up selling it to another gentleman, but we ended up getting in touch with that gentleman, and where he basically got the aircraft. So I got Jack the phone number, and it all started from there. He just went crazy over it, and he didn't get it right away, but he ended up getting it later, and that's kind of how it all started. We we found it, got a lead, and it was a complete basket case. And Jack went out to Mojave Desert, because that's where it was, out in the Mojave Desert at the time, with a bunch of people, and went from there.
And you gentlemen are in Ohio, right?
Yeah, we're out of Dayton, Ohio, right around just south of there.
Okay. So you found the project. You went to Mojave. You had to trailer it or truck it back. And what year was that?
1999, September.
Okay, and here we are, 10 years later, almost. And tell us about the progression of the project.
It was very slow. We had nothing from the upper Longeron up. We had no mast, no rotors, no masthead. We had nothing. So it was a treasure hunt, just an all right, downright dirty treasure hunt. And we found piece by piece, and we had to build new wings, repair the fuselage, the landing gear, shocks had to be rebuilt, and rotors, dampeners for the rotors. It was just intensive.
Where do you find stuff like that?
You just dig and start asking, and it surfaces. We found a mast and rotor head up in Canada. They used to have two of them up there, Levens Aviation. And they had long gone by the board, and I called up there and asked if they had any parts. And he said, no, we don't have anything left. And a week later, I got a call from him, and he said, we got something with a tower on front of it, and it got a gear on the bottom. Well, that's the rotor head, for the Lord's sake, you know. So I said, how much do you want for it, knowing that whatever it was? He said, why don't you come and get it? It belongs to you. So that's how we got that. And then we had to get the masthead built up, which was a weldment. And naturally, we got prints from Pitcairn. And the first prints were the wrong prints. And we built up the masthead and everything, thinking it was the right print. And we put on a ship. It didn't fit.
When you say you got prints from Pitcairn, does that mean that Pitcairn still exists to this day?
Well, Steve Pitcairn had a restoration shop in Trenton, New Jersey. And Steve was just absolutely wonderful to us. And when we would call him up and say we need a print, he'd dig it out, make a copy, and send it down to us. And he was wonderful.
Well, he was probably as excited about the project as you guys were.
He was pretty excited.
Is he going to be up here this week?
He passed away last year.
Okay. Well, this is quite a memorial to him then.
The only two people that had ever flown one were Steve Pitcairn and Johnny Miller, and they both passed last year.
Wow. So I know Andrew King flew it for you. We're going to talk to Andrew a little bit later, but I would imagine that that's quite a task to test fly an airplane that you have nobody to instruct you in.
That is correct. Andrew said after the first flight, it felt like a pterodactyl reached down and snatched him off the ground, because when the rotors reach 120 RPM, it is going to fly. No matter what you're doing with the airplane, it is going to be airborne.
Come hell or high water.
Yeah, so he was kind of excited when he landed after the first flight, and he just was thrilled to death. It flew virtually hands off the first flight.
So we can ask Andrew about, you know, flying characteristics and things like that. But from your perspective, then your objective was to get it to AirVenture. And, of course, you've made it. What was the process once you started test flying it to get paperwork and a pilot certificate for Andrew and et cetera?
Well, we went through 3 years just trying to get the aircraft in our name. We just had to jump through a million hoops, and finally the feds they rolled over and said, here, you know, after 3 years, just to get in our name. And then to get it licensed under standard category, we had engineering problems with the engine change and everything, and we went through a year and a half of that. So it was a struggle.
Jack, what kind of power plant is in this aircraft?
Kenner R-55. It came with an R5, which is 160 horse, and had front exhaust and a tapered shaft, and they were really terrible engines. And the R55 was the second generation. It came out right after the R5. So they were switched to R5s as soon as possible.
I see. Nick, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, Andrew had to get his gyrocopter rating, actually, to fly this thing. And after he flew it, he says it flies nothing like a gyrocopter. So
he truly was being a test pilot in every sense of the word. Well, the gyrocopter he probably used was probably one of those modern, small, little...
Two-place gyrocopter, and I don't know how many hours he had to get. You'll have to take it up with him, but it was a bunch, and it was all over the country. And nobody wants to turn him loose after he soloed with their single-place gyro. You just can't find anybody that will let you go, but he finagled somebody.
Well, we'll be sure and ask him about that. As far as the future for this beautiful ship, what do you have planned?
It stays here till the end of August, and then it goes to Broadhead for the show, and then back to Dayton.
The show, you mean Grassroots?
Grassroots, yes.
Are you going to take it to Blakesburg as well?
I don't believe it's going to Blakesburg. We got a conflict of Andrew and timing and everything, so...
Okay, so it'll be here all week and then down to Broadhead, and then you guys will fly it back, and then it goes in your hangar, or...
We think it's going to the museum up at Urbana. They just built a beautiful new hangar, and they would like to display it, so we think it'll be up there where people can see it, and we can get it in and out to fly it anytime we want to.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, Jack and Nick, thanks once again for bringing the aircraft to EAA Air Venture. It's down here right in front of the vintage Red Barn. Very easy to see, and I suppose you folks will be here all week with the aircraft to answer questions, et cetera.
Absolutely. We'll be here continuously.
Well, you enjoyed the show. Let's cross our fingers for no rain. And, of course, as long as the rotor blade, you don't call it that, do you? You do call it rotor blade. As long as they're not turning, the rain doesn't hurt it at all.
But hail would hurt it, so... No hail.
We're hoping we can fly it one day here in the morning, so it's all up to Andrew.
Oh, okay. Like in the show, I think the showcase is in the afternoon.
They're going to fly it early in the morning, no wind conditions if we get it, and then in the afternoon with no wind conditions if we get it.
Well, we will keep in touch with you and keep abreast of when that will be, hopefully we'll be able to follow along with that. Well, guys, thanks a lot, and enjoy the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And we'll be back with more On the Fly in just a few moments.